When I was in fourth year high school, my parents enrolled me sa program na tinatawag na Balik Paaralan Program. Ito po ay ang program na kung saan binuksan ng Department of Education noong time na ito para sa mga estudyante na special yung cases. Now, ano ibig sabihin ng special cases na programa? Well, yung special cases na programa na ito is yung mga estudyante na hindi able, at least one of the reasons is yung hindi able makaadalo sa eskwelahan regularly. So ito yung mga estudyante ng programa na ito, yung mga artista na hindi nila kaya regularly na maka-attend ng classes, mga anak ng mga politika na kailangan ng extra security kaya hindi dapat everyday nasa school, or yung mga negosyante na kung saan madalas bumabiyahe. So sila ay naka-enroll doon, kasama na rin yung mga senior natin na kung saan gusto magbalik-aral. Kaya nga tawag doon is balik-paran program. At nandun din syempre yung case ko kung bakit nag-aaral doon, ay yung mga kick-out. Okay? And di ako nagbibiro dahil wala nang paaralan. Ito rin ay paaralan o programa para sa mga hindi na tumatanggap na mga estudyante sa ibang paaralan. So nandun po ako and I'm not proud of this. So, I don't want to focus on that, pero yung gusto ko i-focus yung program nila rito, or at least yung part of it. So, ang maganda lang dito sa balik-paran program, hindi kami required every day na pumunta ng school. It is a modular system na kung saan bibigyan kami ng module, aaralin po namin, at kapag ready na kami mag-exam, dun pa lang kami papasok. And ang kagandahan po sa mga exam ng time na yon, kapag ikaw ay bumagsak, o kaya naman hindi mo nagustuhan yung grade mo, pwede ka mag-aral ulit ng the same materials at ititre-retake mo yung exam na yon na kung saan it's the very same exam. Walang pagbabago. So, yun yung principle ng repetition para ma-retain. And that's the beauty of repetition. Mas nakakabisa namin yung sagot, mas nauunawaan namin yung sinasabi sa module, mas marami kami nauunawaan ng mga hindi namin nauunawaan ng bagay na yon. Similarly, ang passage natin ngayong hapon na ito is Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4 ay halos magkahawig ng passage na pinreach ni Brother John Maynes last Friday na kung saan Psalm chapter 3. Yung passage na ito ay halos similar. Okay? This afternoon, as I preach this passage sa atin, it will be like a repetition. It will be like an echo or a reminder ng passage na pinreach ni Brother John last Friday. However, ang hopes po natin as we hear and meditate and savor yung salita ng Diyos ngayong oras na ito is that we would be reminded. We would be refreshed. We would see something new sa passage na ito. Though it is similar, they are not the same. So maraming spekulasyon ang naisulat patungkol sa konteksto ng Psalm chapter 4. Some believe na yung Psalm chapter 3 at saka Psalm chapter 4 were written on the same occasion na kung saan si David ay tumatakas kay Absalom. Na kung saan siya ay nagtatago sa kuweba kasama yung mga ilang mga mama na tapat sa kanya, mga sundalo niya. Some say yun da yung context. Well, some believe na ito, yung context ng Psalm 4 ay isinulat sa panahon na humaharap si David sa isang matinding persecution mula kay Haring Saul. Na kung saan hinahanap siya at tinutugis at siya ay lumisan at nagtatago sa wilderness. Bagamat hindi natin alam ang tiyak na sirkumstansya na bumabalot sa psalm na ito, ang dapat natin maunawaan at malaman na isinulat ito ni David sa panahon na may kinakaharap siyang matinding pagsubok, may kinakaharap siyang isang matinding problema, isang matinding kabigatan. Mapapansin natin na dyan sa taas ng chapter 1, ng Psalm chapter 4, yung tinatawag na superscription, nakasulat sa taas ng verse 1 ito, "To the choir master with string instruments, a psalm of David." So ano ba ibig sabihin nun? Bakit nakalagay yun doon? Sinasa sa superscription na ito ang mode or mood ng psalm na kung saan dapat ito'y tugtugin gamit yung mga string instruments. Kung mapansin nyo, hindi nire-require ni David na tugtugin yung psalm na ito gamit yung mga tambourines or mga trumpets because that is usually used for celebrations or mga festivities. Dahil ang tone ng psalm na ito is more like a lament, a cry to God. At ang instrumentation ay dapat appropriate sa message na ito, which is string instruments. Ang Psalm 4 ay parang bintana. Isang bintana na kung saan masusulya pa natin ang puso ng isang mama na nasa kalagitnaan ng pighati dahil sa sirkumstansya na kanyang dinadala. Siya ay isa may hinaharap na mabigat na problema. At sa kalagitnaan ng pagsubok ng kanyang buhay, ay nakahanap siya ng seguridad, kapayapaan, at pag-asa sa Panginoon. At yun po ang gusto natin makita sa psalm na ito. Maaari nandito po kayo ngayong hapon na ito at ikaw ay nasa isang similar na kalagayan pareho ho ni David. Kung ikaw ay nasa kalagitnaan din ng isang kahindik-hindik na sirkumstansya o may hinaharap na mabigat na pagsubok, we must understand that we can find comfort in the Lord. This passage, marahil, is for you. Eh, Pastor, wala naman kami hinaharap na problema ngayon, so baka yung mensahe na yan ay hindi para sa amin. Well, if not, then it is important for us to learn itong psalm na ito. Because when trials come, I'm not saying if, when I say when, it will happen anytime. When it happens, we had devoured and meditated and consumed ang salita ng Diyos para pag dumating yung time na yun, we are ready to face it. Because in the midst of troubles, God's people can find true security, peace, joy, and rest in God alone. In the midst of troubles, God's people can find true security, peace, joy, rest in God alone. Sa psalm na ito, meron tayong nakitang three observations sa buhay ni David. Number one, sa kanyang circumstance, David ran to God, verses 1 to 2. Number two, David's response to God, verses 3 to 6. And number three, David's joyous rest in God, verses 7 to 8. Unang-una, David ran to God. Sabi sa verse 1, "Answer me when I call. O God, my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Nung una ko nabasa po ito, eh parang nagulat ako sa kapamamaraanan kung paano nag-request si David. Parang tilabaga, eh parang may konting demand, no? Medyo demanding at parang walang galang. Tingnan niyo yung mga ginamit. "Answer me when I call. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer." Yun ang tone nun. Kasi nasa imperative siya. It's a command. He is commanding, telling, borderline, parang inuutusan niya ang Panginoon. Bagamat parang ganun nga yung dating ng kanyang request, hindi binanggit ni David ito out of disrespect sa Panginoon or out of desperation. Damang-dama ang pagkabalisa o distress ni David sa kanyang tono nung sinasabi ho niya ito. He is expressing the depth of the trouble sa kanyang dinaranas. And I think it is just fitting yung tono na ito, that he would cry out to the Lord in this manner. Pero bakit? Bakit ganun na lang ang kanyang pag-iyak sa Panginoon? Well, we do not know yung mga full details gaya ng ating nabanggit, but I think na-mention ito ng bahagya sa verse 2. Tingnan niyo verse 2. "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" Salah. These men are men of prominence, yung binabanggit dito. They are men who are in leadership and authority positions. Sila yung tumutugis mismo kay David. Kinamumunghian nila si David. That's why they were condemning and slandering at nag-iimbento sila ng kung anumang mga kwento para ilaglag si David. Sinisiraan siya, hinihiya siya, hindi ginagalang, hindi kinikilala ang kanyang pagkahari. Ginagawa ng mga tao na ito lahat para pabagsakin si David. That's why David prays for relief from this distress. Makita natin sa verse 1. He is praying that God would put them to silence. That's why in verse 1, he appeals to God of his righteousness. O God of his righteousness. Pinapanalangin niya that God would vindicate, ang ibig sabihin nito, that God would vindicate his cause or to be the protector of his right. Kasi sinisiraan siya, he's incurring injustice. So he now puts God to witness and says, I mean, Lord, you are the God of my righteousness. Bakit ganon? Bakit ganon na lang ka-bold and confident yung prayer ni David? Because he remembers God's faithfulness from the past. Look at verse 1. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Past tense. David ran to God when he was confronted by present circumstances because he knew God delivered him from previous troubles. Probably yung memory niya goes back way back nung siya ay nagpapastol pa lang ng mga tupa, nung may dumating na bear and wolf, kung gaano siya pinrotektahan ng Panginoon, napatay niya yung dalawa. Or maybe yung time na kung saan hinarap niya si Goliath, na isang malaking mama na 9 feet tall na kung saan tinaob niya ng isang bato. Or maybe he remembers or recalls yung time na kung saan tinutugis siya ni King Saul. Hindi siya namatay. All of that he recalls. That's why he cries with confidence to the Lord. He prays to the Lord. He depends on the Lord. He asks for requests. Friends, when you are confronted with difficulties and troubles, where does your heart run to? Do you run to God or do you run away from God? Ito ang totoo, mga kaibigan. It is really tempting to run away from God kapag tayo po ay may kinaharap na suliranin. Lalo na pag tayo ay nagpanik, lalo tayo nagtakot, pag hindi natin nakikita yung plano natin ay nagpo-fall into place, natatakot tayo magtiwala. This is a trust issue. Trust issue natin sa Panginoon. David ran immediately towards God, pero hindi lang po yan ang ginawa ni David. Hindi lang po yan ang ginawa ni David sa verse 1 and 2. Tignan mo yung ginawa niya. David also rebuked the men who were running away from God. That's interesting. Tignan niyo ang verse 2. Oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? The men who were slandering him, speaking lies against him, he was rebuking them. He was warning them. Now, bakit po natin nasabi that these men are running away from God? Kasi since David was God's anointed king to lead his people, to rebel against the king, to rebel against King David, is to rebel against God. And so, yun ang ginawa ni David. He rebuked those who were running away from God. Mga kaibigan, not only are we to run to God in times of difficulties, but we are also called to run after brothers and sisters who are running away from God and His will during circumstances. May mga kapatiran tayo marahil na tumatakbo palayo sa kalooban ng Panginoon. Hindi dapat tayo nakatenga lang at pag-usapan lang sila. We should run after them. We should call them out. We should bring them back to God. And if you're a member of this church, we are in covenant together. Sabi sa ating covenant as I read,
We will be devoted to one another in brotherly love, with humility and gentleness. We will patiently bear with each other, forgiving, encouraging, building one another up. Here it comes, exercising watchfulness over each other and admonishing one another when necessary. David knew that these men are running away from God because they wanted their own way. That's why David called them out. Do you know a loved one na kung saan who believes na siya'y anak ng Diyos? Could be hindi member, could be a member ng church who is running away from the Lord? My question is, have you called them back to the Lord? Sa kalagitnaan ng suliranin, David did not run away from God, he ran to God. Another observation na mapapansin natin kay David in his response to God is yung number two. David's response to God. Anong ginawa niya after he ran to God? Well, he responded in three different ways. And these are three sub-points ng point number two. Unang-una, he reminds himself of his true identity. David reminded himself of his true identity. Tignan niyo verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, for the Lord hears when I call to him. Binanggit ni David ito as a warning to his enemies na ang favor ng Panginoon ay nasa kanya. At kung ano man ang panalangin ng Panginoon laban sa kanila, sasagutin ng Panginoon, kaya maghanda kayo. So that was a warning sa kanyang mga enemies. But more than a warning, this is also a reminder. A reminder to himself na kung sino siya sa harapan ng Panginoon. That it was God who set him apart. It was God who anointed him. It was God who chose him. It was God who chose yung tribe niya out of the 12. And out of that 12 tribe, yung tribe niya at yung family niya sa loob ng tribe niya, ang pinili ng Panginoon. And among his tribe, sa anak ni Jesse, sa walong anak ni Jesse, siya ang pinili ng Panginoon. Ang pinakabata, ang pinakamababang trabaho, isang pastol, siya ang pinili upang maging hari ng Diyos, ang hari ng Israel. God chose him, gave him special attention, sets his affections toward him, and made him king. It was God who said that David was the man after my own heart. Yun ang sabi niya. Tinawag ni David sarili niya dito sa verse ito na siya yung godly person dito. Godly. Now, nung sinabi niyang godly, hindi ito nangangahulugan na siya ay may kabutihan ay pagmamalaki sa Panginoon. Wala po. We know David. We know his story. This is another term that means faithful one. Godly one also means faithful one, or refers to those who have genuinely laid hold on God's steadfast love. Friends, if David needs to remind himself of his identity in the Lord, tayong mga Kristiyano should remind ourselves sa identity natin sa Panginoon. Kasi po, kapag tayo ay nababalot ng takot, pag tayo ay kinakain ng agam-agam natin o nilalamon na tayo ng pag-alala dahil sa mga kinahaharap nating problema, nakakalimutan na natin ang identity natin sa Panginoon. Nakakalimot na po tayo. Nakaka-mental block yun eh. Ang tawag ni Paul Tripp dito ay identity amnesia. Identity amnesia. Na dahil sa bigat ng suliranin na kinahaharap ng isang individual, nakakalimot na siya na siya ay anak ng Diyos. At dahil sa nakalimot na ikaw ay anak ng Diyos, siya ay namumuhay parang hindi anak ng Diyos. Kapag matindi ang kinakaharap ng pagsubok, or may trials na pumunta sa ating buhay, ito po nangyayari. When trials come, hinahamon nito ang lahat ng mga bagay that we find our identity from. When problems come, ito po yung nangyayari. It challenges, inuuga lahat ng mga bagay na kinukonsider natin yung identity natin nakalagay. And God is kind enough to do that. Friends, is your identity in Christ? Is your identity in Christ or is it in something else? Our identity should not be found on the things of this world. Our identity should not be found in the clothes that we wear. Our identity should not be found in the marriages that we enjoy. It should not be in the parents that cares and loves us. It should not be in our good health. Our identity should not be in the friends that we hang out with na kinukonsider tayo na cool. Our identity is not in our careers. It is not in how much money that I have earned, how much money I saved, how much money I have invested. Wala doon ang identity natin. Our identity is not in our education or knowledge. It is not in our achievements or successes. It is not in our skills and abilities that we are good at. It is not in an authority na kung saan pinagkaloob sa atin. It is not in the possessions that we have. Your identity is not even in this church. Should not be found in this church. Friends, let me remind us that our identity is in the Lord. It is in Christ alone. That we have been bought by the blood of Christ and are now not identified as people of this world, but as people of the Lord. Not only did David respond by reminding himself of his identity sa Panginoon nung siya'y may pagsubok na inaharap, second, he also examined his heart. Inexamine niya ang kanyang puso. Verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your own beds and be silent. Salah. Yung word na anger dito sa original language means to shake or tremble. May ibang translations ng Bible would say it means shaking with fear or shaking with anger. Either both translations ay tama. As David's problems escalate, David here becomes irritated and angry sa mga tao na kunsa nagsaslander sa kanya, sa mga tao nagle-rebelde sa kanya, na namumuo ang kanyang galit. And the temptation comes kay David when he seeks to take justice sa sarili niyang kamay. O siya mismo ang maghihiganti. That's why David counsels us in this psalm to slow down and be silent. I remember years ago that there was a person whom we trusted our life para alagaan kami. But when trying times came, this very person that we depend on, look up to, consider as a mentor, abandoned us. And during those days, I remember lahat ng lumabas sa aking bibig is something that I would regret right now. Because of my anger, I said a lot of things na hindi maganda. It is true that it is hard for us not to get angry when people fail us. Ang hirap hindi magalit when people betray us, when people lie to our face, when people cheat and gossip about us. We become angry when we're hurt and when we're anxious. We always have a tendency to blame others and worse, take revenge. We take revenge with our words. We even take revenge in our own silent treatments to relationships. We make people feel we are angry through our actions. Maring ito'y isang anak na dinadabugan ka habang naghuhugas ng pinggan. Kumaring yung esposo na kung saan talagang yung mga kaserola eh habang hinuhugasan, naririnig mo, pinararamdam na sila'y galit. Umaaring si husband na galit na pinaiyak yung gulong ng sasakyan palabas. When we're angry, we have a tendency to do regrettable things. Mga kaibigan, galit ka ba ngayon? Galit ka ba dahil sa sitwasyon na kinalalagyan mo ngayon? Are you starting to blame or even plan to take revenge sa iyong kalagayan? Listen to this, mga kapatid. Kung ikaw ay galit na galit sa iyong sitwasyon ngayon, and you claim, and this is what you believe, you claim that God is sovereign sa lahat ng situation, then here's the truth. You are angry with God. Kapag hindi natin gusto ang sitwasyon, ang tendency po ay to say unhelpful, hurtful, and ungodly things. Diba nga sabi sa Bible, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaks. Hindi po madali maging tahimik kapag tayo po may pinagdadaanan tayong problema, hindi ba? Kapag mabigat ang ating puso, ang tendency po natin ay magreklamo at magsisi ng ibang tao. If we believe that God is sovereign sa ating kalagayan and you are still rebellious, you're still angry, that the truth is galit ka sa Panginoon. That's why David counsels us, balik tayo sa verse, to ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, that we should reflect on how the Lord has shown Himself trustworthy sa atin in the midst sa inyong pinagdadaanan. Hindi ho bago ito, itong prayer na ito. Itong prayer that who is relying on God's sovereignty, makikita rin po natin ito sa Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Sabi dyan, that's why yung prayer dito is, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Not only did David respond by reminding himself of his identity kay Lord, examine his heart in times of trials, but also, ito yung third subpoint natin, he turns to the Lord in worship. Sa kalagitnaan ng kanyang pinagdadaanan, he turns to the Lord in worship. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Si David here refuses to give in sa kanyang galit that could lead him to revenge, lead him to say something na pagsisisihan niya. Instead, he remained in quiet reliance sa Panginoon. As he continued to have this quiet reliance sa Panginoon, he learned to worship God sa isang situation na napakabigat. When I was still pastoring sa Pilipinas, isa sa mga aktibidades ko po within the week is visitation. One of my favorite things. I visit people for several reasons. Kapag may sakit, nasa hospital, I visit them. Kapag may mga members na may pinagdadaanan na kabigatan, I want to cry with them and pray for them. And I also visit those na bihira ko na makita. Hindi na umaattend ng church ng ilang linggo. Such is a person na tatawagin nating Nanay Karing. Si Nanay Karing ay matagal nang hindi umaattend ng church. Nung dinalaw po natin at tinanong natin kung bakit, ang iton sinabi niya, kasi pastor, isa sa mga miyembro ng church ay na-offend ako. May mga sinabi at ginawa siya na lumalim yung aking galit at sugat. Basta mayroon siyang hindi ginawa. Nanay Karing was hurt. Dahil nga may tao ron na kung saan, sabi nga niya sila, so hindi ko alam kung ilan. Pero sabi niya, pastor, ayoko na munang mag-church. Ang hirap kaya, pastor, na kumanta, makinig ng mensahe, tapos nakikita mo yung mga tao na yan. Does that sound familiar? Pastor, ayoko. Nagpapakatotoo lang ako. Hindi ako hipokrito. Ang totoo niya, pastor, aminin ko, medyo bitter na ako. Buti nga, dinalaw mo ako eh. Dadamay pa ako. Kung hindi ako dumalaw. Talaga naman ang ating mga kapatid, ano? Maybe some of us ay nakaka-relate kay nanay. No? Or maybe si nanay, yung situation nyo ay medyo similar. Maybe we are saying, sa bigat ng pinagdadaanan ko, Pastor, ang hirap magbigay ng papuri sa Panginoon. Ano si Pastor, hindi ko na alam ang worship kasi feeling ko nagtatampo na ako sa Panginoon eh. May mga ganun peg pa tayo minsan, di ba? Minsan, hindi ko nga alam kung nakikinig pa ang Panginoon eh. Pastor, ayokong magpuri sa Panginoon pag ganito nararamdaman ko. Gusto ko lang maging totoo, Pastor. Ayaw ko lang maging hipokrito. And yun ang usual language na ginagamit natin, hindi ba? Friends, if we choose, listen, if we choose to worship God only when things are good, then our worship is based on our circumstances, hindi sa Panginoon. Kapag okay, worship tayo. Kapag hindi okay, no worship. Kapag hindi ako good spiritually, wala ako sa church. Pag medyo good vibes, unang-una sa church. Kapag medyo struggle financially, no give. Kapag medyo okay, no give pa rin. Okay? Minsan ganon. Meron minsan nagbi-give. Okay? And sometimes nagiging circumstantial yung act of worship natin depende sa ating sitwasyon. Friends, that is not right. Friends, if we choose to worship God in the midst of a trial, this is not hypocrisy. This is a sign of maturity. Mga kaibigan, alam nyo ba na ang worship ay nagiging honest at totoo in times na may pinagdadaanan kang pagsubok? Mas nananamnam mo yung tamis ng grasa ng Panginoon? Dahil I am choosing to worship God, hindi dahil maayos ang lahat, or sa pasisiyahin ako ng Panginoon, I am choosing to worship God because of God and nothing else. Sabi ni Tim Keller, as he defines worship, worship is an act of ascribing ultimate value to something or someone in a way that engages your entire being. Friends, when we worship God in difficulties, we focus on Him, His beauty, His majesty, His sovereignty, His grandeur, not on what we can get from Him. We make Him our ultimate value, our ultimate highest priority, and not our current situation. Worship magnifies God. And it minimizes us in our concerns. Kasi ang focus ng worship ay si Yahweh, hindi tayo. In times of difficulty, David ran to God. Second, David profoundly responds to God. Number three and last, we also observe David's joyous rest in God. In times of difficulties, David's joyous rest. We're not sure kung si David ay nasa cave hiding from Absalom sa context na ito, or nasa wilderness siya tinatakbuhan si King Saul. What we do know, may mga ilang tapat na mga sundalo na sumama kay David. At nung time na medyo hindi nagbabago yung kanilang sitwasyon, parang ganun pa rin yung intensity and magnitude ng kanilang hinaharap na problema, eh, nagtanong na sila kay David. Anong tinanong nila? Tingnan nyo sa verse 6. Who will show us some good? So, kung titingnan lang natin na parang, ay, yun lang naman pala tinanong. Natanong lang kung ano yung maganda. Hindi, malalim po ito. Basically, they are asking, ano na? Ano na, David? May mangyayari na ba sa atin na maganda? Kailan magiging maayos ulit ang ating sitwasyon? Remember, ito na yung hinaharap ni David, may mga ganong tanong pa. Ay, nakaka-stress po yun, hindi ba? They are losing their faith in God and starting to doubt David's leadership. Anong ginawa ni David? Ay, hindi, sige, ganito gagawin natin. Actually, kasama sa plano ko lahat ito, yung naghihirap tayo. Malamang hindi niyo sinabi. Wala sigurong sasabihin si David na gano'n, ano? Pero ito ang sinabi ni David. Ito ang ginawa ni David. Hindi niya sinagot directly yung katanungan. Hindi niya sinagot. Anong ginawa niya? David prayed for them. Prayed for them. Tingnan niyo yung verse 6. Lift out the light of your face upon us, O Lord. That's the short, sweetest, most powerful prayer in the passage na ito. This is metaphoric. It means that the Lord would manifest. This is a prayer. Lord, manifest your favor and love to us in this dark situation. Pastor, I need a little bit unpacking. Ano ibig sabihin yan? Well, this prayer is not new. This prayer was also prayed and given in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. You don't need to go there, but you can write it down. Numbers 6, 24 to 26. At baka mas maintindihan po natin ang ibig sabihin ng psalm sa prayer niya. So let me read it to you. Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Verse 26. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Ano ibig sabihin po niyan? His prayer in the midst of this dark situation is not mainly desiring na mawala ang problema. Hindi yun yung kanyang main desire, main prayer. Although he did pray that, and that's okay, but his prayer is that he was desiring the grace of God. He was desiring the peace of God. He was desiring the comfort of God. He was desiring the presence of God in the midst of a situation that God Himself ordained. He was asking, Lord, give me sufficient grace sa sitwasyon na ikaw mismo ang nag-ordain. Wow! Kapag tayo po ay nasa mabigat na sitwasyon, nakikita lang po natin, ang totoo, nakita lang po natin yung problema, hindi po ba? Kaya yung mga panalangin natin, iba yung tunog eh. Kaya ang mga panalangin natin is always focused sa mga bagay na kung saan tingin natin ay yung solusyon sa ating problema. Lord, I pray na mabayaran ang utang na ito. Lord, I pray na gumaling ang karamdaman na ito. Lord, I pray na magkaayos ang mga relasyon na ito. Lord, I pray na maahon kami sa kahirapan. I pray, Lord, na maging lumaking matitino ang aking anak. Ang aming mga anak. These are not wrong prayers. No. It's okay to ask these prayers. Pero minsan dahil sa lumalalim ang ating desire na ma-resolve ang problema natin, sa kapamamaraanan na gusto natin, we have a tendency to rely on our solutions and methodologies. Not to the point that we will do everything, kahit magkasala na tayo, para mangyari lang yung gusto nating mangyari. Isa pa, why should we do that kung wala naman talagang guarantee na kapag nakuha mo yan, mabayaran mo yan, gumaling ka, wala namang guarantee na magiging maayos ang buhay mo eh. Friends, let us be content with God. David desires God and was contented in Him. That's why he found joy in God sa kalagitnaan ng kanyang sitwasyon. Look at verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Ano ibig sabihin nito? Sa panahon ni David po, walang mga grocery, walang Lulu, walang Carrefour, walang Weso, na kung saan bibilihin nila yung mga canned goods at mga bigas, no? Yung mga baboy. Wala ho, walang ganun. Sa kanila, they wait for the harvest. They wait patiently for the harvest, for their food and for their drink and business. Kaya kapag maganda ang ani, kapag maganda at marami ang ani, there's a big celebration. Masaya ang sambayan, ha? Kasi may pagkain, may alak, may tubig, maganda ang bentahan. That's why ang buong sambayan ay nagre-rejoice. Pero David here is saying, higit pa doon ang kagalakan na binigay sa akin ng Panginoon. Sa kalagitnaan ng sitwasyon na kung saan may drought. Ang puso niya is punong-puno ng kagalakan. Friends, true joy or happiness cannot be found on the things in Dubai.
or anywhere in the world that can offer you. You can never find it in marriage. No, you can never find true joy and happiness and rest in marriage. You will never find true joy and happiness by having children or by having the dream job na pinagpe-pray mo or the dream salary package na gusto mo. Joy and happiness can never be found in a new car, a new house, cell phone, laptops. You will never find true happiness kapag marami nag-like sa iyong Facebook post or IG followers na dagdagan. All of these are bound to end. It will be exhausted. It will get old. It will die. These things will never last. Why put your joy on these things? Do not expect the temporal things to meet your eternal longing, because only an eternal God can satisfy that. Verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In the midst of his trial, David's safety is in the Lord. Kung ang Panginoon ang source ng kanyang joy, ang source ng kanyang safety, whether he is in a cave or nasa wilderness, he is safe as if nasa palace siya. In the midst of troubles, David found true security, peace, joy, and rest in his God. Friends, paano tayo? Let's talk about you. Let's talk about me. Pero pastor, paano ako ang tanong? Hindi ako pareho ni David. Ang ganda ng storya ni David, pero hindi ako pareho ni David. Hindi ako pareho ni David na malakas ang faith. Hindi ako pareho ni David na kung saan lumalakad ng tuwid sa Panginoon. Eh malamang hindi para sa akin yan. Ang problema, yung problema ko ngayon, mahirap marinig yan, pastor. Oh, mga kaibigan, we are very much like David. Like us, David is capable of committing grave sin. Adultery, murder, lying, putting our fists against God in rebellion. Ang Psalm 4 ay hindi istorya ng isang perpektong mama. Ito ay isang patutuo ng grasya ng Panginoon and what He can do to the hearts of those who desire Him. Bagamat si David ay ang anointed king, set apart by God, he is only but a mere shadow of a greater king. This greater king was also anointed and set apart by God for his purposes. He too was slandered and mocked, betrayed and hunted down by men. He was judged unjustly by religious authorities. His people also rejected him as king. This greater king is Jesus. He is the truly godly one. Jesus did not just face death, he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and has risen from the grave on the third day. He ascended into heaven, and one day, mga kapatid, babalik siya para sa kanyang mga anak. At sino man ang magtiwala kay Jesus bilang Diyos, tagapagligtas, talikuran ng kanyang mga kasalanan, he is now set apart. He is now chosen by God through Jesus Christ. He or she becomes the godly one. Not because of what he or she has done, but because of what Christ has done on the cross. Friends, if this is true to us, then we are no longer to live to serve our own selfish ways. We now live for the joy and glory of our King Jesus. If you do not have this King, I urge you, repent from your sins. Trust Jesus and the finished work
of Christ on the cross. Kagaya ng sinabi ni David, because we are now serving King Jesus, it is the, sabi ni King David, Lord, it is you who set us apart for yourself. It is you who had more joy in us. It is you who made us dwell in Satan. Pansin niyo ba yon? It is you. It is not us. Friends, that is why in the midst of troubles, we can find true security, true peace, true joy, true rest in Christ alone. Let us pray. Father, we come to you ngayong hapon na ito. I do not know yung pinagdadaanan ng bawat isa. Maybe some I do. But one thing I do know, if they are true believers in Christ, they will face suffering. Maybe they are already facing suffering. Maybe they are in a situation na hindi na nila alam ang gagawin. People failed them. Funds are exhausted. Even people from the church are limited and they just don't know what to do. Oh Father, I pray that you would put their security, their significance, their joy, their happiness in Christ. Remind us, Lord, that our identity is not on the things of this world, but is in on Christ. I pray, Father, as we go through yung challenges, whether these are people na sinisiraan kami, or challenges of sickness or financial crunch, please help us not to sin as we go through these. Help us not to run away from you, not run away from your people, but run to you for our source of security and joy. I know there are people who are hurting dito ngayong oras na ito. And they've probably tried, and they're losing hope. I pray if they are your child, I pray that you would lead them to worship you. If they are not your child, I pray that they would see yung mga kawalang kwentahan ng mundo and trust you as your Savior. Father, in the midst of hurting circumstances right now, help us to sing "It Is Well" in our soul as an act of worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.